We're going to go ahead and get started on our Sunday evening service here. And it was a month ago we did a prophecy update right when the Ukraine war started, 3 or 4 days afterwards. And there's been some other events here that have caused me and others to want to do another update. So with that, we're just going to pray, give it to the Lord, and then we'll be introing a 23-minute video. Is going to take a lot longer than that because we're going to pause and comment. And at any time, if you have a question while we're listening to him, raise your hand and we'll be able to answer the questions or try to. And so I think you'll find this extremely intriguing. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We're thankful, God, that you did not leave us as orphans, as you said, but you left us with the Holy Spirit and with your word. And your word is being made alive by the Holy Spirit to let us know we're in the last days. There's not even a debate about it anymore with all the things that are happening. And we want to be like the disciples, some of them who were anticipating the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, by the prophetic word, and they were running around saying, "Hey, we found him. We found him," because they were looking. And we're looking too, Lord, for the day that you come. And you told the last days people to be, when we see these things beginning to happen, to look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. And we yearn for the day that you take us home. And we pray you would empower us to live in the troubling days that lie ahead until you do. And we thank you for this time to fellowship and to seek you in Jesus' name. Amen. So everybody should have gotten this handout, which will be posted on the internet when we post this there. And as a lead-in, we're going to be spending some time listening to a 24-minute video by this man that you see on the screen, Yuval Harari, Mr. Harari. As for those that were here two Sunday mornings ago, we listened to a 2-3 minute clip from him where he has contempt for the biblical laws of God. And he thinks that we should supplant, replace the biblical laws of God with the law of humanity, which is, if it feels good, do it. Whatever you feel, that's what you should do. This man is, as I mentioned a couple Sunday mornings ago, is a Hebrew University history professor. He's a Jew who has abandoned the law of his fathers, is a homosexual, been deceived in the homosexual lifestyle and married to a man. I guess he got married in Canada, researching him, married to a man. He's extremely powerful in his narrative. He's speaking in this, in what we're going to be listening to in a minute. It is the annual meeting of Davos, the World Economic Forum. So once a year in Davos, Switzerland, all these extremely powerful, wealthy people meet to plan how to globalize the world, to create global government. And he's going to talk about that in this video. Some of you have seen it. I sent it out to some people. But, you know, we can see that he has been deceived, and he is a mover shaker to bring about the global government of the Antichrist. And he's going to even admit in here, in this narrative, this teaching that he gave to the Davos elite, World Economic Forum elite, he even admits that this could go wrong if, when we globalize, the person that becomes in charge is a tyrant. And we have a very reliable source that tells us that that's exactly what's going to happen. So, you know, what he's basically saying is, I reject the God who created the heavens and the earth. I don't believe it happened. We evolved. And we are the masters of our destiny. And the elites should change that destiny to bring about global utopia because we reject God. Well, in doing so, he's actually a servant of Satan. And as such, Satan is going to be using this philosophy that's here to create a global government through deception and then put his man in charge to try and eliminate everybody on the face of the earth. And we're going to see how that's going to happen by the things that he talked about. All of this is extremely biblically relevant for the people who believe the book of Revelation is not yet fulfilled. I got a call from a friend of mine today. He was so, Kevin, I'm so bothered. I went to church and they're going to Revelation and they say Revelation was all fulfilled in the past and now we just have to allegorically take what we can from Revelation. And he was just so discouraged. And there's that view out there in the apostate fallen church. But when you read the book of Revelation, there is going to be an Antichrist. He is going to be able to control the buying and selling of everybody on the planet. When he is going to be able to have a police state that makes everybody comply or they'll have their heads chopped off, etc. When you believe that's really literally going to happen and it never happened in the past, and you listen to this guy, Mr. Harari, you're going to realize we're there. We're almost there. So, I'm going to go ahead and start it at the beginning here, and I've outlined some of it. I'm outlining it so that you can have it as notes. You know, these notes will be posted with hyperlinks at our website, so you can review this with your friends if you want.
Three problems pose existential challenges to our species. These three existential challenges are nuclear war, ecological collapse, and technological disruption. We should focus on them. Now, nuclear war and ecological collapse are already familiar threats, so let me spend some time explaining the less familiar threat posed by technological disruption. In Davos, we hear so much about the enormous promises of technology, and these promises are certainly real, but technology might also disrupt human society and the very meaning of human life in numerous ways, ranging from the creation of a global useless class to the rise of data colonialism and of digital dictatorships. First, we might face upheavals on the social and economic level. Automation will soon eliminate millions upon millions of jobs. And while new jobs will certainly be created, it is unclear whether people will be able to learn the necessary new skills fast enough. Suppose you're a 50 years old truck driver and you just lost your job to a self-driving vehicle. Now, there are new jobs in designing software or in teaching yoga to engineers.
Remember, yoga is really important. So you can have a job in the New World Order if you learn how to teach yoga and you can software design. Because once again, he is into Burmese Buddhism, and he spends an hour in the morning and an hour at night every day in Buddhist meditation, seeking to receive wisdom and knowledge. And he spends 1 month of his year in Buddhist meditation where he divorces himself from everything in the world. And he says that that is where he receives his research. Okay? So, there's been a couple years ago, I gave my family DVDs of where AI is taking the world. Half of the world's jobs are gone. And they were talking in that DVD the problems that's going to cause. What are we going to do with people when one half of the jobs of the world are going to be gone? Well, he talks about that issue.
But how does a 50 years old truck driver reinvent himself or herself as a software engineer or as a yoga teacher? And people will have to do it not just once, but again and again throughout their lives, because the automation revolution will not be a single watershed event following which the job market will settle down into some new equilibrium. Rather, it will be a cascade of ever bigger disruptions, because AI is nowhere near its full potential. All jobs will disappear, new jobs will emerge, but then the new jobs will rapidly change and vanish. Whereas in the past, humans have had to struggle against exploitation, in the 21st century, the really big struggle will be against irrelevance. And it's much worse to be irrelevant than to be exploited. Those who fail in the struggle against irrelevance would constitute a new useless class.
Useless class. Now, many globalists have been talking about this for decades. Have you ever heard the term useless eaters? You know, the Kissingers and whatever of the world? Say, why do we even tolerate people that contribute nothing to society? They're useless eaters and we need to be eliminated. So the technological revolution that's bringing in artificial intelligence is going to replace, you know, half of the world's population plus, is going to create a whole class of people that are useless eaters. And later on, we're going to know by technology, then he's going to get into the technology of things, and we'll know that they are useless eaters, and we will be able to deal with them. That's really what it all boils down to, is that if you're a useless eater in the need of the minimal resources of the world, then you will be eliminated.
People who are useless, not from the viewpoint of their friends and family, of course, but useless from the viewpoint of the economic and political system. And this useless class will be separated by an ever-growing gap from the ever more powerful elite.
Now, who are they? he's talking to the elite. He later on says that. You guys are the elite, too. You guys are the elite. But you have to watch out for the timer that comes that when in the police state that's watching everything that you do.
The AI revolution might create unprecedented inequality, not just between classes, but also between countries. In the 19th century, a few countries, like Britain and Japan, industrialized first, and they went on to conquer and exploit most of the world. If we aren't careful, the same thing will happen in the 21st century with AI. We are already in the midst of an AI arms race, with China and the USA leading the race, and most countries being left far, far behind. Unless we take action to distribute the benefits and power of AI between all humans, AI will likely create immense wealth in a few high-tech hubs, while other countries will either go bankrupt or will become exploited data colonies. Now, we aren't talking...
Exploited data colonies, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now where he's going with all of this, is that the natural result will be the haves and the have-nots, unless there's somebody that makes sure that doesn't happen. And who's that somebody? The global elite. So we need to globalize, or the problems we see developing are going to create a huge gap between the super wealthy and the not so wealthy, the useless eaters.
About a science fiction scenario of robots rebelling against humans. We are talking about far more primitive AI, which is nevertheless enough to disrupt the global balance. Just think, what will happen to developing economies once it is cheaper to produce textiles or cars in California than in Mexico? And what will happen to politics in your country in 20 years when somebody in San Francisco or in Beijing knows the entire medical and personal history of every politician, every judge, and every journalist in your country, including all their sexual escapades, all their mental weaknesses, and all their corrupt dealings? Will it still be an independent country? Or will it become a data colony? When you have enough data, you don't need to send soldiers in order to control a country.
Isn't that something? And how far away are the data centers away from knowing the ins and outs of every single person on the planet? They already have, you know, Eli back there worked on collecting data for every single person in America's medical records. Epic. When we got Obamacare, do you realize how important it was for them to get Obamacare for the globalist agenda? That's why it was pushed to the max. It wasn't for us to have help. That's when your records became no longer, you know, go from one doctor, doctor, can I have my records and I'll take it over to another doctor. That's when Epic in America completely became the central clearinghouse of all medical records, where you can go anywhere now and they tap into your medical records, and they, at any time, the elites can know, AI can know, AI can sniff the entire medical records of the entire country and pick and choose who's in and who's out. Who is going to be taken care of with the reduced resources of the earth and who is not. Who is worthy to be living and who is not. And then you have your data controls the society, is what he just said. And it's a new type of segregation that's going to be coming.
Alongside inequality, the other major danger we face is the rise of digital dictatorships that will monitor everyone all the time. This danger can be stated in the form of a simple equation, which I think might be the defining equation of life in the 21st century. B times C times D equals R, which means biological knowledge multiplied by computing power multiplied by data equals the ability to hack humans. Ah, if you know...
Ah. Isn't that wonderful? This is incredible. This is really incredible. And this isn't a mathematician. This is the guy speaking to the global elite. Yeah.
What do they mean by ability to hack humans?
It's when you have the biological information about everybody that we just talked about, and you have the computing power to know where who you associate, what social networking you use, what your political views are, who you associate, what you think is funny, what you don't think is funny, the movies you watch, the movies you don't watch. When they have all that data, the AI will know you better than you do, along with all the data for this. And then they'll be able to determine how to control and manipulate you and let you in or out of the system. He's going to explain it.
You know enough biology, and you have enough computing power and data, you can hack my body and my brain and my life, and you can understand me better than I understand myself. You can know my personality type, my political views, my sexual preferences, my mental weaknesses, my deepest fears and hopes. You know more about me than I know about myself. And you can do that not just to me, but to everyone. A system that understands us better than we understand ourselves, can predict our feelings and decisions, can manipulate our feelings and decisions, and can ultimately make decisions for us. Now, in the past, many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody understood biology well enough, and nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people.
Any governments close to doing this? Huh? China. Okay, because in China today, everybody is issued a social credit score based on the data they've collected. They've hacked you. They already know everything about you. And they decide whether you can get a loan for a car, and he's going to talk about that in a minute too, whether you can get a loan, whether you can go to school, whether you can travel, everything else. In China, it is already there. Who helped them do that? Google. And Facebook. And now Google and Facebook have all the algorithms to do it in China. All they have to do is apply them here, and it's here. And they're already talking about giving every American a social credit score based on your habits, the way you think. And then you're going to think that you want to vote for a conservative politician. They go, well, actually, we know you good enough to know that you're insane, and so we'll vote for you. And we'll make the right choice. It'll completely control humans to what's required for them to be. Way they think, the way they act.
We humans should get used to the idea that we are no longer mysterious souls. We are now hackable animals. That's what we are. The power to hack human beings can, of course, be used for good purposes, like providing much better healthcare. But if this power falls into the hands of a 21st century Stalin, the result will be the worst totalitarian regime in human history.
Oh, that's incredible. See, as a godless thinker, he sees where this is going, but he's smart enough. This guy is a smart guy. He's smart enough to go, man, if this got it, if somehow we get deceived into letting Stalin be the head of this system, this would create a worst totalitarian regime in human history. And you know what? The Bible tells us that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens.
And we already have a number of applicants for the job of 21st century Stalin. Just imagine North Korea in 20 years, when everybody has to wear a biometric bracelet which constantly monitors your blood pressure, your heart rate, your brain activity, 24 hours a day. You listen to a speech on the radio by the great leader, and they know what you actually feel. You can clap your hands and smile, but if you're angry, they know you'll be in the gulag tomorrow morning.
You'll be in the gulag tomorrow morning. Everybody get that? You know, so you won't be able to hide. You won't be able to fake it at the checkpoint. They've hacked you. And at the checkpoint, yeah, I like the Fuhrer. Yeah, Heil Hitler. And then they're going to say, Heil, New World Order, globalist, Antichrist. And they're going to know by your biometrics that they've hacked into that you're lying. And you really can't stand the Fuhrer.
And if we allow the emergence of such total surveillance regimes, don't think that the rich and powerful in places like Davos will be safe. Just ask Jeff Bezos. In Stalin's USSR, the state monitored members of the communist elite more than anyone else. The same will be true of future total surveillance regimes. The higher you are in the hierarchy, the more closely you will be watched. Do you want your CEO or your president to know what you really think about them? So it's in the interest of all humans, including the elites, to prevent the rise of such digital dictatorships. And in the meantime...
Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Satan has a better plan than you, Mr. Harari. You're a servant of Satan, and you don't know that you're helping him, the devil, to do his dirty work in the last days. Yeah, Jane.
It was struck me recently reading Revelation 13, where it says he causes both rich and poor, everybody, and all these believers think that they're going to be okay.
Yeah. He's warning them. He goes, you guys, when you create this global government, don't be thinking you're not going to be snooped on. They're going to watch you close. The Antichrist is going to watch you really close. They have everything at their fingertips that they're allowed to have, and the government, the coming global government, will be allowed to have everything. They will have everything about you at their fingertips.
If you get a suspicious WhatsApp message from some prince, don't open it. If we indeed prevent the establishment of digital dictatorships, the ability to hack humans might still undermine the very meaning of human freedom. Because as humans will rely on AI to make more and more decisions for us, authority will shift from humans to algorithms. And this is already happening.
From humans to algorithm. Everybody understands that algorithm is a computer program that using AI can use algorithms to learn and to make decisions.
Today, billions of people trust the Facebook algorithm to tell us what is new. The Google algorithm tells us what is true. Netflix tells us what to watch. And the Amazon and Alibaba algorithms tell us what to buy. In the not-so-distant future, similar algorithms might tell us where to work, and whom to marry, and also decide whether to hire us for a job, whether to give us a loan, and whether the central bank should raise the interest rate. And if you ask why you were not given a loan, or why the bank didn't raise the interest rate, the answer will always be the same. Because the computer says no. And since the limited human brain lacks sufficient biological knowledge, computing power, and data, humans will simply not be able to understand the computer's decisions. So even in supposedly free countries, humans are likely to lose control over our own lives and also lose the ability to understand public policy. Already now...
Okay, now let's... So you need a medical treatment, and you go and... I'm sorry, there's no doctor that will ever be available for you. Why? The computer algorithm says you don't get any medical care. But why? Ask the computer that has hacked you, knows everything about you. I think it's because you're a pastor. And you're a useless eater of the worst kind. Or you're a Christian and you just have not voted right. You now, if you die from whatever you have, that's actually not a problem. And so you just won't get the loan. You won't get doctor's care. And it'll just... you think it's bad now when you can't get a human being to answer the question that you have about your account or what you bought or whatever else. Imagine that you never get a person and what you get is a computer and he says none of your business when you ask why.
How many humans really understand the financial system? Maybe 1%, to be very generous. In a couple of decades, the number of humans capable of understanding the financial system will be exactly zero. Now, we humans are used to thinking about life as a drama of decision making. What will be the meaning of human life when most decisions are taken by algorithms? We don't even have philosophical models to understand such an existence. The usual bargain between philosophers and politicians is that philosophers have a lot of fanciful ideas, and politicians patiently explain that they lack the means to implement these ideas. Now we are in an opposite situation. We are facing philosophical bankruptcy. The twin revolutions of infotech and biotech are now giving politicians and business people the means to create heaven or hell, but the philosophers are having trouble conceptualizing what the new heaven and the new hell will look like. And that's a very dangerous situation. If we fail to conceptualize the new heaven quickly enough, we might be easily misled by naive utopias. And if we fail to conceptualize the new hell quickly enough, we might find ourselves entrapped there with no way out.
Think about that. If we mess up with our extremely brilliant, educated decision-making, and we go, we're leading ourselves down this path that he's advocating, but we realize, all of a sudden we realize, whoa, this is hell. We're creating a global hell. They won't be able to stop it because they're already there. There will be no escape from what they're creating. You know, again, the whole world, as we mentioned this morning, the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. Because this man has rejected the truth, he's embracing a lie, and although he knows the dangers, he's willing to go down the road with the hopes that they'll create a new utopia instead of a new hell. But acknowledging they could easily be deceived into creating a hell. Which, again, we know is what they're going to do.
It's stunning how honest.
Yeah.
Finally, technology might disrupt not just our economy and politics and philosophy, but also our biology. In the coming decades, AI and biotechnology will give us godlike abilities to re-engineer life and even to create completely new life forms. after 4 billion years of organic life shaped by natural selection, we are about to enter a new era of inorganic life shaped by intelligent design. Our intelligent design is...
Yeah, he would have been better off to be taught Genesis 1 by his parents as this is the truth and the Word of God. You know, buying the 4 billion years, and now we're the intelligent ones. What is he basically saying? We're God. He's saying we're God. Where does that go to? In the garden? When Satan said, no, you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which he's already in that 2-minute video we had last Sunday morning. We're going to decide what's good. We're going to decide what's evil. We're going to do it by how we feel. And so take that, you will be like God. And now he's bragging about the fact that our intelligence is going to create new life forms through biology. And I have to stop to say, a joke I heard once from a guy, a biologist says, hey, I can now create life. And so the creationist goes, really? Okay, so let's have a public debate. So he's in front of everybody, and he goes, okay, go ahead. You know, I believe that God breathed the entire universe into existence, created all life just by the spoken word. And you say that you can create life. And so just show the audience. And he goes, well, you know, somebody bring me some dirt. And then the guy goes, no. Get your own dirt. Because what they do, what they're creating life, is they're taking existing DNA and they're messing with DNA. They're taking human DNA, animal DNA. They're mixing and mashing. But they're taking God-created DNA and messing with it. And so unless they start with their own dirt, they don't get to go play God. Because God created the dirt.
It's going to be the new driving force of the evolution of life. And in using our new divine powers of creation, we might make mistakes on a cosmic scale.
Wouldn't that be too bad?
In particular, government...
In fact, have you heard that, I think this week, they're going to release millions, hundreds of millions of mosquitoes that have been genetically manipulated down in California? And Florida. California and Florida. What? What could go wrong with these brilliant biologists messing with the genetics of God's created mosquitoes to supposedly solve a problem? And what could possibly go wrong? Well, we'll probably find out. And that's what he's saying. What if we do something wrong? Yes.
Well, I just have a question. This is a godless man, obviously.
Yeah.
These are godless people. But they have two angels up there blowing trumpets. He's talking about heaven and a hell being created. And it's like you're saying, get your own dirt. I mean, this kind of... Isn't this like... Why is he using these words to describe what he's doing when...
Exactly. And for those that are listening... The comment was, here this guy is obviously godless, and yet behind the screen of him, there's angels and other biblical realities that are there and demonstrated. And so how can I be an atheist and then also in my presentation creating angels in the background that I'm putting up on the screen? Brian?
Obviously, out of the 100% of him, the 2%, which... says in Romans that it's evident in every man that there is a God. So that 2% is, he's in his mind putting these angels up if he's a Buddhist, so Buddha is a false God, so he's doing some type of worship of a God, but it's a false one.
Yeah, and Buddha was more of a a prophet to basically say there is no God, there's just a cycle of life, if I remember correctly, and any previous Buddhist can correct me on that. But I can identify, I believed in reincarnation, that there was no God, there was no Satan. And that you're just, we're on this earth, we've evolved, we just have to suffer our karma. We have to just come back over many lifetimes to learn how to be good people. And yet, even though I believe that, and I strongly believe that, I would pray to God, that I didn't believe existed, philosophically in my mind. So, and why? Just like Brian was saying, because Romans was ruling in my life, really, that God had given me a conscience that I was created, and at times I would say, God, you know, what is going on? There's something wrong. I was praying to a God I intellectually did not believe existed. Leanne?
Well, this is a giant sales pitch. This is what it is.
Yeah.
You've got angels, you've got all these things that look holy.
Yeah.
And he's got to sell to the world what they are doing is of God. And it was just like you said this morning about Bill Clinton quoting scripture wrong. Well, if it sounds kind of like something you've heard in the past,
yeah,
even if you tweak it,
yeah,
nobody's catching on.
Yeah.
And so that's why we really need to know God's word.
Yeah, everything, and actually one of the things about doing this is I was going to do a disclaimer at the beginning. If you don't know Jesus and you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, I don't want you to sit here and listen to this guy. Because there's the deceptions of Satan in this man. And I actually looked around, I go, I don't think we have any problems here. Because Satan is using all the imagery of this, all the words of this, to seduce the culture that's going to be listening to this into agreeing with him. And the world is going to agree what he's going to be saying towards the end. And so everything is a sales, demonically inspired sales routine here.
And in using our new divine powers of creation, we might make mistakes on a cosmic scale. In particular, governments, corporations, and armies are likely to use technology to enhance human skills that they need, like intelligence and discipline, while neglecting other human skills, like compassion, artistic sensitivity, and spirituality. The result might be a race of humans who are very intelligent and very disciplined, but lack compassion, lack artistic sensitivity, and lack spiritual depth.
Okay, you know what he's saying? He's saying that they'll take DNA from a man, a super strong, intelligent man, a woman. They will genetically go in using CRISPR technology, which they've developed, and they know our genome, and they know which part of our genome creates the part of the brain that has compassion or whatever else, and they'll pull that out, and they'll genetically manipulate a man so that it'll be a soldier, impervious to pain, impervious to any thought of what he's doing emotionally, and just say kill, and he just kill. And there is nothing that hinders him in doing so. That's what he's saying.
Of course, this is not a prophecy. These are just possibilities. Technology is never deterministic. In the 20th century, people used industrial technology to build very different kinds of societies. Fascist dictatorships, communist regimes, liberal democracies. The same thing will happen in the 21st century. AI and biotech will certainly transform the world, but we can use them to create very different kinds of societies. And if you're afraid of some of the possibilities I've mentioned, you can still do something about it. But to do something effective, we need global cooperation.
Think of all the bad ways this can go. Think of all the bad ways it goes. So you can't have a nation state that's by itself, because they could do the bad way and make everybody else's. He's going to explain here in just a second. And so the only way to keep this inevitable technology under control is to globalize.
For something effective, we need global cooperation. All the three existential challenges we face are global problems that demand global solutions.
Nuclear war,
whenever any leader says something like, my country first, we should remind that leader that no nation can prevent nuclear war or stop ecological collapse by itself.
When what year is this? What's happening in 2020? Huh? COVID. And what else was happening in November of 2020?
Elections.
Who was president?
Trump.
What was he saying? Make America great again. That's what he's talking about. Can't do that.
And no nation can regulate AI and bioengineering by itself.
Almost nobody can
regulate. Every country will say, hey, we don't want to develop killer robots or to genetically engineer human babies. We are the good guys. But we can't trust our rivals not to do it. So we must do it first. If we allow such an arms race to develop in fields like AI and bioengineering...
Did you see the green dots coming up here? Okay, what he's saying there is, I'm a good guy. I don't want to genetically modify babies to become super soldiers. I'm a good guy. But what if the Russians do? Then I've got to do it, so I'm ready to combat the Russians. So one green dot, Russians do it. Now America green dot. Then country three green dot. Well, then you need to have the next technological race. So something else happens. I got to do it too. And it's the same thing as the military-industrial complex that we've been living with for the last few decades. Same exact thing. He said, and the only way to keep that from happening is not let one state do it and then the other state have to do it. You have to take control of the whole world and not let anybody do it but you. You know, you keep the ability under your control as the elite top.
Doesn't really matter who wins the arms race. The loser will be humanity. Unfortunately, just when global cooperation is more needed than ever before, some of the most powerful leaders and countries in the world are now deliberately undermining global cooperation. Leaders like the US president tell us that there is an inherent contradiction between nationalism and globalism, and that we should choose nationalism and reject globalism. But this is a dangerous mistake. There is no contradiction between nationalism and globalism because nationalism isn't about hating foreigners. Nationalism is about loving your compatriots. And in the 21st century, in order to protect the safety and the future of your compatriots, you must cooperate with foreigners. So in the 20th century, in the 21st century, sorry, good nationalists must be also globalists. Now, globalism doesn't mean establishing a global government, abandoning all national traditions, or opening the border to unlimited immigration. Rather,
he doesn't believe in God, so lying's not a problem, right?
Globalism means a commitment to some global rules. Rules that don't deny the uniqueness of each nation, but only regulate relations between nations. And a good model is the Football World Cup. The World Cup...
He's talking soccer, because he's from the Middle East. not football.
...is a competition between nations, and people often show fierce loyalty to their national team. But at the same time, the World Cup is also an amazing display of global harmony. France can't play football against Croatia unless the French and Croatians agree on the same rules for the game. And that's globalism in action. If you like the World Cup, you're already a globalist.
So, yeah, Dustin.
One of the main rules of the game.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, okay, he was talking about France and what? What were the two? Croatia. France and Croatia. So does the Bible give us any indication how many nations are allowed to be able to have independent nation status? Ten. 194 nations become 10. And the rules will be global. I was telling somebody, when I saw that, you know, American football self-destructing, I was actually, and you know who created football in America? It was a guy who was a globalist. from a Yale University skull and bones guy invented football. Football is, you know, my state against your state and my college against your college and all this other stuff, where soccer is more of a global sport, isn't it? It is more global, and it has that one global way of doing things. And although people are national, they also have the global mindset. And I think that it's a deliberate move to try and destroy a country's major game for the sake of, and then elevate soccer. Is soccer being elevated in America today? Soccer is being, they're trying to bring soccer up because soccer is more of a global game instead of a state game. Time will tell. So.
Now, hopefully, nations could agree on global rules, not just for football, but also for how to prevent ecological collapse, how to regulate dangerous technologies, and how to reduce global inequality. How to make sure, for example, that AI benefits Mexican textile workers and not only American software engineers. Now, of course, this is going to be much more difficult than football, but not impossible.
So they'll spread the wealth. You ever heard that before? We need to create a global taxation system based on your carbon footprint. So that makes sure that the software engineers that have more money and can fly around in jets and do everything, and they can use their global dollars. You know, they put in the dollars that then goes to somebody in Mexico that's been replaced. That's the whole purpose of this carbon footprint, global taxation, carbon tax, is to set up the system for, you know, the ones, the useless eaters they allow to live, to continue to be provided for with a global digital currency that's coming. And like Mike was saying back there, the other rules, nobody gets to have firearms. Nobody gets to have nukes. Nobody gets to have chemical weapons. Nobody gets to have biological weapons. And the people will be saying, wow, I get a sustainable wage. I don't have to worry about ever being nuked again. I don't have to worry about chemicals or biological attack unless Fauci wants to give us something again. You know, all this other stuff that they'll think it's a utopia. The world will be thinking it's a utopia until the Antichrist, 3.5 years into the tribulation period, says, you know what? I'm God. Here's another requirement. You got to worship me. And I'm going to change the algorithm to, if I don't like you for whatever reason, with the data that I have, I'm going to eliminate you. And he's going to eliminate everybody. Hitler wouldn't have stopped with the Jews and the gypsies and the handicapped and the sick. He would have said everybody shorter than him, everybody taller than him, everybody that didn't look like him, until he would have been all alone because he was possessed of Satan. And that's what Satan wants to do.
Because the impossible, well, we have already accomplished the impossible. We have already escaped the violent jungle in which we humans have lived throughout history. For thousands of years, humans lived under the law of the jungle in a condition of omnipresent war. The law of the jungle said that for every two nearby countries, there is a plausible scenario that they will go to war against each other next year. Under this law, peace meant only the temporary absence of war. When there was peace between, say, Athens and Sparta, or France and Germany, it meant that now they are not at war, but next year they might be. And for thousands of years, people had assumed that it was impossible to escape this law. But in the last few decades, humanity has managed to do the impossible, to break the law, and to escape the jungle. We have built the rule-based, liberal global order that, despite many imperfections, has never...
Remember, liberal global order. That's going to be important in our next video.
Nevertheless, created the most prosperous and most peaceful era in human history. The very meaning of the word peace has changed. Peace no longer means just the temporary absence of war. Peace now means the implausibility of war. There are many countries in the world which you simply cannot imagine going to war against each other next year, like France and Germany. There are still wars in some parts of the world. I come from the Middle East, so believe me, I know this perfectly well. But it shouldn't blind us to the overall global picture. We are now living in a world in which war kills fewer people than suicide, and gunpowder is far less dangerous to your life than sugar. Most countries, with some notable exceptions like Russia, don't even fantasize about conquering and annexing their neighbors, which is why most countries can afford to spend maybe just about 2% of their GDP on defense, while spending far, far more on education and healthcare. This is not a jungle. Unfortunately, we've gotten so used to this wonderful situation that we take it for granted, and we are therefore becoming extremely careless. Instead of doing everything we can to strengthen the fragile global order, countries neglect it and even deliberately undermine it. The global order is now like a house that everybody inhabits and nobody repairs. It can hold on for a few more years, but if we continue like this, it will collapse, and we will find ourselves back in the jungle of omnipresent war. We've forgotten what it's like, but believe me, as a historian, you don't want to go back there. It's far, far worse than you imagine. Yes, our species has evolved in that jungle and lived and even prospered there for thousands of years. But if we return there now with the powerful new technologies of the 21st century, our species will probably annihilate itself.
So what technology is he talking about? Nukes. Because we now have nukes. This is what I explained a couple of weeks ago. It was a month ago when we did this. The Hegelian dialectic, just like he said, we're in the laws of the jungle, and there's always going to be war. But that becomes problematic when you have nukes that can eliminate the people of the world. Now, that's what he's saying, and it is true. But he doesn't realize that our solution is not a solution. That's what he doesn't understand. He thinks man can control a global utopia solution by eliminating that jungle mentality, which started in the Garden of Eden when Cain killed Abel, and it's been going on forever, and it will go on forever until Jesus comes back. But God saw that the way to keep it from annihilating the world was to divide the nations so nobody could become so wicked that a righteous nation wouldn't come and deal with it in judgment. But if you globalize and it becomes wicked, there's nothing to stop it. You then create a new world where you can't escape it, and it becomes hell. And that's what the Bible says is coming. So this is, but now he does have some hope if we do annihilate each other.
Of course, even if we disappear, it will not be the end of the world. Something will survive us. Perhaps the rats will eventually take over and rebuild civilization. Perhaps then the rats will learn from our mistakes. But I very much hope that we can rely on the leaders assembled here and not on the rats. Thank you.
Okay. Talking to the leaders, I'm hoping that you will make this global new world order happen and watch out for all these problems to create a thing that we don't annihilate each other so the rats don't have to learn from our mistakes. Think about what he said. Absolutely amazing. And so now, and I'm going to skip the verses that we have here to go to the next link, which is Mr. Biden. And Obama was all about this. Obama was all in. He's a Davos guy. And so now, let's watch. This was last week.
We are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people dying, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is the time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. And we've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. So anyway.
So, Biden attends World Economic Forum meetings, and he, he was there, front and center, at the last Davos meeting, along with DiCaprio was there. He's also an honorary member. And then I'll close with this last one. I'll close before we go into Q&A, which I'm going to also read these verses that apply. Just one more. This is very interesting. This guy manages trillions of dollars worth of assets. Mr. Fink and BlackRock CEO. This is what Mr. Fink says.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
So corporations, like what corporations affected us this last couple of years? All the major corporations were affecting us in every way. You will lock down. These businesses that don't belong to the corporations, they have to be shut down. They're a hazard to you. The ones that are major corporations, Amazon, Costco, et cetera, that are all tied in to the Davos elite, they thrive. They became billionaires. Mom and pop stores shut down because you can't control them. You need to control the corporations. All the finances goes in and is managed by Mr. Fink. And then they can delineate. They can force people, your business doesn't have the proper worldview. And so you are not going to get financial help, et cetera. And that's what the International Monetary Fund, if a country gets out of line in any way, they're just turned off. They don't get loans as a country. They disintegrate. And then that president will be out because although the people wanted him for freedom, he has to go out and be subservient to the globalists or their country gets nothing. So this is, we are at the point where everybody's going to be controlled. And it's amazing to me that rejection of God, believing a lie, as Mr. Harari does, that we devolved, God gives them over to a delusion, and they believe the lie because they rejected the knowledge of the truth. And we're seeing this on a global scale. And then I'll say one more thing, and then we'll open it up to Q&A officially. And there's more in your handout that you can read about this global elite. But think about what's about to happen. Everything that NATO is doing is egging on Ukraine to use, or Russia to use nuclear weapons. And why would they want that to happen? Because in the same way that Klaus Schwab, who's the president of the World Economic Forum, working with Bill Gates, gave us COVID to create a global problem that needed a global solution and caused a massive increase in the ability for global databasing, police monitoring, etc., to the point where, now think about this, they have the data part of hacking human beings includes contact awareness of everybody you've ever been with, where you travel, where you go. They just massively increase the data of everybody's health. And if it's true that the vaccines have put graphene oxide that can communicate with networks, they've actually tattooed everybody with something that can be used in a database for when they make that happen. Even some people think that with 5G technology coming out, they'll be able to fine-tune the frequency going out in 5G and actually control the mood of people. They can hack the mood because of the biology information that we have now. And all of a sudden they can just force people to be compliant, or they can force people to kill each other. There was a French scientist that said decades ago they had the technology to create mood changes through injecting human bodies with certain substances would affect their mood. And then he says, don't think this is future, think Rwanda. And just before Rwanda broke out, they had a huge vaccination program. that had to stop in the middle of that, in the middle of the vaccination program because of the war. And I wonder, I haven't been able to research this yet, but if that French guy was telling us the truth, what if they injected all the Hutus, which were the ones that killed the Tutsis, and they woke up one day and just kind of, I hate Tutsis. I'm going to kill Tutsis. Because there was already that differentiation between their cultures. And then they just dial them in to, all of a sudden, I feel violent.
So I read an article about that, and they interviewed a guy who, he was a guy that woke up one day and went next door and killed. They asked him, they said, why did you wake up yesterday morning or whatever day it was, and you just decided to kill your neighbors? And he said, I don't know. I've lived next door to these people for 18 years, and then I just woke up one day, and it was an article that talked about that French guy, and because that was the example that he used, it said this is a perfect example of they injected these people with something, and they went rabid. And they interviewed a guy who did, and he had no idea what happened in his brain.
Yeah. And I watched a special on that where that exact same thing happened. A Tutsi family had to hide in a double wall. Their neighbors who they were friends with, kids played together and everything else, is in their house looking for them. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to find you. I'm going to kill you. And they hid in the wall. And so then, you know, after the war, this documentary team went in there and said, you know, to the guy, what? You guys were friends, right? Yes, we're friends. You're friends now. Yes, we're friends now. Again, why did you do it? I don't know. I don't know. Now, if this is true, and I don't know that it's true, but if it's true, and let's say they're just waiting for 5G and someday they're going to tune it, and everybody that's been injected is going to be able to be controlled, do you realize the kind of chaos that could happen? And it would just be unbelievable mayhem, death and destruction on the streets, where it'll be just like the Hutus all of a sudden picking up machetes, and they just literally slaughtered over 1 million Tutsis just within a matter of a few weeks. Yeah, Dustin. And it turned off, you know, and then all of a sudden it just turned off.
So there's a term I've been hearing lately that I have to admit I've never heard in my life, and that is Bretton Woods.
Yeah,
Bretton Woods. Can you please explain Bretton Woods?
Bretton Woods was the, you know, from an economic standpoint, right after World War II, they developed how are we going to rule the economy of the world. And that's when, because America was the winner in many ways in World War II, American dollar is going to be the reserve currency. They're going to give security to the Middle East for the oil supplies, and that's what everybody's going to deal in. And so it became a new financial world order. And that's being torn down too. Do these guys want it torn down? Absolutely. They want the whole world to go into chaos. And they want nuclear war, because when nuclear war happens and people say, how could this happen? You know, we're back in the jungle. How do we get out of the jungle? We're here to help you. We have the Davos elite. We have a plan. We're going to eliminate nukes. We're going to eliminate this. You're going to have to stop your nation state stuff. Never elect Trump again and make America great. That's what caused it. That attitude caused this to happen. It wasn't Trump. It was Russia. We got to make Russia great. You know, they're saying he wants to be the czar of the world again. He wants to go take all these things. They set him up for this image that he just needs to control. And so then he has to be eliminated. We can't let anybody like that happen again. It's masterful. It's demonically masterful the way they've set the world up for this. Yes.
So the way I heard it explained, and just tell me if this is right, they say Bretton Woods 1 was in the 40s, where the U.S. dollar was backed by the gold standard.
Right, yeah.
And then Bretton Woods 2 was when Nixon was president, and he took the U.S. dollar off the gold standard and backed it with oil.
Yep.
And then they're saying this one will be, you know, in effect, Bretton Woods 3.
Which will be an issuance of a global currency that's going to be digital. And completely enslave everybody, because you will not have a dollar to go. Do you realize one of your last freedoms is to go and buy a candy bar with your dollar, well, $2 bill? They don't know you're eating sugar. You are off the database. They don't know that you're a sugar junkie that needs to be eliminated from the planet. I mean, it's because you have that freedom. But you went on a digital currency, you won't be able to buy a bullet or a candy bar or whatever without permission from the elites.
Anyone else have a question?
Yes. Jim, right? Wait just a second. We got to get it. You got to get the microphone, Jim. Nope, just.
I don't know, a year or so, there was a...
right out of your mouth.
Oh. A year or so, I don't know what it was. Bill Gates was on a video that was going around. And in that video, he talked about an injection that would change the mood of people who were radical thinkers, so that they'd be calm. I took that as a Christian was a radical thinker. And I was, did you ever see that?
What I think you're talking about, and I did see it, if it's the same thing, it was supposedly Bill Gates, and it was really a long time ago. A young Bill Gates, if it was. You can't tell really perfectly, but he was down on a stage. The video was from the back, and it was supposedly to some Pentagon people. And he was talking to the Pentagon that we have created a vaccine that can de-radicalize people. And so that we can use disease and vaccination program to get rid of suicide bombers by giving it, you know, create a disease in an Arab world. Oh, here's a disease, here's a vaccine, but that vaccine is targeted to the part of the brain that becomes radicalized. And there are parts of our brain that God created it is our brain that reads the Bible. It is our brain that memorizes certain things of the Bible. There is a part of the brain that the soul uses to have the emotions of believing and following what we know to be true by a soul connection to our brain. And they can, according to this video, they have figured out how to desensitize that part of your brain so that you...
Didn't they say that part of the brain in that video was a... People
who were zealous for God. Yeah, zealous for God. Yes. And so, and they had studied people by, you know, when they're reading the scriptures and they're, oh man, the Lord's speaking to me. They studied and watched what part of the brain is firing off. And then through biological technology, where is that part of the brain and what can we do to mess with that part of the brain to wipe out the God consciousness of the human being. Gotta go.
Oh, I'm sorry. That seems to me like that was about the time the COVID shot came into play, or shortly before it came in.
Yes, and there was people telling me about that too. And let's say that the COVID shot inoculated people with that. Well, if that was true, then everybody with a COVID shot would be not going to church. They wouldn't be reading the Bible.
Yeah.
We're not seeing that yet, but it could. Yeah. So, and I thought about it. My people say, "Now, what if I got the shot? And are they going to erase God from my mind? Am I going to be unsaved?" And no, you know, God sees all this stuff coming, and that's another reason why He's saying He's taking His children out of here, and so we're going to be taken out soon because global government can start to form, but. We have to be gone before the Antichrist shows up, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We are hindering the revealing of the Antichrist. The Holy Spirit inside of us is hindering, because we're talking about this and warning people. And we're a fly in the ointment. We are bothering them. We're messing with their plan. And so God is going to take us out and let them have their heyday. And if we're seeing it so close, then that means it's got to be soon. Our Jesus is going to blow the trumpet and send us home. But yeah, I have. So in answer, yeah, I've seen that. And man, I tell you, you can't. You say, how could they do that? Well, God's word said, as we covered a month ago, God said there's nothing that man in their unity will be kept from being able to do. So this biological technology could be way beyond things that we can even comprehend. Anyway, so there's that. There's the famines. They're going to love famine. You know, hey, we couldn't kill enough of you with the jab. We'll get you with the famine. I mean, and just create chaos. And what caused the famine? Nationalism. What's causing the collapse of the dollar? Nationalism. What's causing the collapse of global trade? Nationalism. And so they're going to keep feeding us with all this. Look at what Russia did. Look at these people that are just naturally, you know, look at, we all die, you know. And then the survivors will say, just give me global government. Give me this. And hopefully we'll end up in the man-created heaven and not the man-created hell. And how tragic it'll be, because they're going to end up in a hell that the world has never seen, a living hell the world has never seen. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your word again to just let us know what, you know, that we don't have to be deceived by these demon doctrines, the demons that are spouting through very powerful and educated men that have a very persuasive influence on over hundreds of millions of people when it represents the elites being listening and embracing these doctrines of demons, God, and about to spread these doctrines through their countries in the world, bringing about the time that your prophets foretold that are going to be a time of trouble. We just thank you, God, for the truth that you've given us, and we just pray that you would protect us from the wicked one and allow us to serve you and trust you until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thanks for coming.